You have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 4. But we need to understand the background before we get to chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. He says in chapter 5, verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein it is excess, but be controlled by the Holy Spirit." What he's going to say from here on out is related to being controlled by the Spirit. "Speaking unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody into your heart as unto the Lord." And then he says, "Giving thanks for everything. Submitting yourselves one to another." And he stops right there. The word there, submit, means to, as I yield up my rights in love. And then he talks about the wife relationship to the husband and the relationship within the home. And what a wife needs more than anything else is love, because wives are to submit and to give respect. What do husbands need? They need respect. You're going to find that what he has from here on out, too many times we try to change everything within our home rather than getting right with God. When you get right with God, you'll find that wives will yield up their rights. Whenever you find husbands that are right with God and in a right relationship, he says, "Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it." He says also, "Husbands, love your wife as you love your own self, and nourish it and cherish it." So the picture we have before this, if you want to know what's wrong with your home and with your family, is Jesus Christ needs to be first within your life of the husband and in the life of the wife, and then you begin to see the outflowing of it. When you come to chapter 6, he continues with the same theme. And he talks about children. He talks about children obeying your parents because it's right. And he says, "Fathers or parents, don't provoke your children." What we're going to see this morning is there once again. Our home is a reflection of what Jesus Christ is doing within our hearts and within our lives. And so you say, "Oh no, mine's in a mess." Probably it is, because you'll find that your relationship with God and your relationship with your husband or your wife are often, if not always, related one to the other. So instead of trying to get your home right, instead of trying to get your kids right, get your heart right and see what God can do. Our Father, I thank you so very much that you have a plan and a purpose for us as a family. And you want more than anything else to utilize our families in order to bring praise and honor to you. Give wisdom this morning and allow the parents to know that without you it's impossible to please him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, brothers, aspirate your children, sending them up in the training and instruction of God your. Obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor, when their eyes on you, but when Spirit of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart, serve the heart and meat, as if you were serving the one of them, because you know the Lord will reward everyone, whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way, do not put them in sentinel, he who is both their master and yours. Favoritism within. Finally, shine in the Lord and in his mighty the sword of your spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, always keep on praying for all the saints. Also for me, that whatever my mouth was may be given me, so that I would fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, which I am made ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Take a cross to dear brother, a faithful servant in the Lord. Tell you where we stand, so that you also may know how I am. What I am doing, I am sending into you for this very purpose. And you already know how we are, and that we may encourage you. The Father, your Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying
Now, for those of you that don't know everything that was going on, that was all of Ephesians chapter 6. And they didn't have the words. You had the words. They didn't. That's amazing. I don't know. I guess you might as well pray and go eat. I get more amens out of that than anything. Say from here on out. That's right. Children are absolutely amazing. They can be a royal pain or they can be a royal blessing, and sometimes they're both. And yet, one of the things that I've noticed within the household of God is that so often we're not doing it biblically. So often our homes and our families, they look just like everybody else's home and everybody else's family. And there seemingly is no direction until it's too late. Years ago, a fellow named Dr. Paul Meyer, he wrote a book called Christian Child Rearing and Personality Development. And what he does is that he shows the tragedy of raising children without proper divine standards. And he does this in a step-by-step way. For instance, he has 10 easy steps for your normal, healthy baby to turn into a drug addict and an alcoholic. Another one he has is how to develop your normal child into an irresponsible adult. And then he gives these 10. So I'll give you 9, because it says, as usual, you start out with the 10 easy steps to make an alcoholic mother. But in other words, 2, never spank your child. Physical punishment is a thing of the past. In fact, spanking is now considered immoral and is even against the law in Sweden. Let your child express himself any way that he feels like it. He'll learn from your example how to behave. He doesn't need any discipline. 4, don't run his life. Let him run yours. Let him manipulate you and play on your guilt if he doesn't get his own way. 5, don't enforce the household rules, if there are any. That way, he'll be able to choose which laws of society he will break when he is older. and he won't fear the consequences since he's never suffered any. Number six. This is, by the way, how to raise an irresponsible adult. Don't bother him with chores. Do all of his chores for him. Then he can be irresponsible when he is older. And always blame others when his responsibilities don't get right. Number seven. Be sure you give in when he throws a temper tantrum. He might hit you if you don't. Don't ever cross him when he's angry. Number eight. It will help you to choose to believe his lies. You may even want to tell a few yourself. Number nine, criticize others openly and routinely so that he will realize that he is better than anyone else. Number 10, give him a big allowance and don't make him do anything for it. He may get the idea that he'll have to work for a living later on. And if you make him work for it, and if he does do anything worthwhile around the house, be sure that you pay him richly for each and every good deed. You wouldn't want him to think that a feeling of responsibility is its own reward. I say all that to say that very few people are endeavoring to raise their children by biblical principles. We are influenced by the media, we're influenced by friends, we're influenced by family, we're influenced by everyone. But what does God have to say? What does God have to say? And when you come to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, what should we be teaching our children? What should we be teaching our children? First of all, we need to teach some right action in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, children, everyone here this morning is a child of somebody. And so he obviously doesn't have the broad idea as far as anybody and everybody. But it has to do with those that are under your dominion, those that are under your responsibility, those that are under your roof, those that are under your authority. And so he narrows it down as far as children. And so notice the strength of right action is to obey. It comes from the hupoakouo. Hupoakouo is the Greek word. Hupo means to be under. Akouo means to hear or to listen. We get our word acoustic. And children, get under the authority of your parent and listen. You see, the word calls for a constant habitual action. It would be great if every kid just came into the world that automatically wanted to obey and listen to mom and dad. Well, believe me, it's your responsibility to make sure that they obey and that they listen, because they're not going to come into the world with that set of values. But notice this: the source of right action is your parents. Do what mom and dad says. Now, did you notice that what we've done so far is we put this section here to sleep? Because obviously they are not children, and they don't have to listen to mom and dad. And if you don't believe it, I'd love to see just what it was like this last week. Because often, whenever you come to, see, now you understand what parents do every week when it comes to preaching. They think it must apply to somebody else. And this doesn't apply to me. And you don't understand my parents, and you don't understand my situation, and you don't understand how unreasonable my parents are. Yeah, I understand all that because I've been both. I've been a child years ago, and I've been a parent not long ago. And then I got rid of everybody, and boy, it's been really calm around there since. But obedience is not natural. Did you ever teach your children not to obey and to not do what's right? You have to teach them what is right. You have to teach them what is wrong. And so obedience there once again. Obedience must be taught. It isn't something that comes natural. And why do these children need guidance and leadership? Well, in Luke chapter 252, in fact, as we had a program called the 252, it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Probably those four areas right there give you an idea. Because why? Because children lack wisdom. In other words, they don't know what's right or wrong. They receive information, but somebody needs to teach them. Somebody needs to teach them what is right, what is wrong, what they're supposed to do, what they're not supposed to do. There are things that, for instance, that if, as far as even what you eat, as far as why you should exercise, as far as why you shouldn't so much, boy, what's getting many more is that you spend, I was reading just a statistic this last week, that one out of every two teenagers are addicted to their cell phone. Now, Apple is coming along and trying to give some suggestions as far as what age a child should have a smartphone. And I just heard that someone 8 years of age received a smartphone for Christmas. Well, where do you think they're going to get their information as far as what's right and as what's wrong, and how long do they spend on this thing? And the other thing that we don't know is that we have no idea what a cell phone is giving off, whether it's electromagnetic or whether it's you don't know what it's doing to the inside of your brain. You don't know what it's doing to the inside of your eyeball if you watch this screen for umpteen hours. You have no idea what it does as far as when you text, and that's everything is a one-syllable word or just a, what does it do to your learning capacity? You can only learn so much. But see, parents need to be parents. You need to say you can't watch certain things. You can't see certain things. You need to only be so long in front of a television screen or a computer screen. Who decides that kind of stuff? They lacked wisdom. Mom and dad, by example and also by enforcement, need to come up with some things that are right and wrong. They lack stature. This is physical development and growing. And kids, as they're growing up, they go right through their clothes. I was talking to Andrew Welch the other day, and seems like he gets new clothes like all the time. It's not because he's one wealthy kid. He just keeps growing. It's amazing what happens. They grow in stature. But they also need this physical development. What is good? Exercise is good. Sitting in front of an idiot box a whole day is not exactly what's good for a kid. But they don't know that. They used to tell us, go outdoors and play. And then they'd finally say, well, where have you been? I've been outdoor playing, and you haven't been home all day. That's right. We would leave in the morning, come home for lunch, and we'd be gone for the rest of the day. But one of the things that you're doing is that you're growing physically. And so parents have a responsibility as far as what is healthy and how a child and what a child needs to be doing as far as to develop physically. But also the children lack favor with man. They don't know anything as far as what is proper and what is improper when it comes to dealing with people. Shut up is not exactly the way to start a friendship. And you idiot just isn't the way it works. Somebody needs to say, wait a minute, we don't talk like that. We don't act like that. That isn't the way to handle problems. That isn't the way to handle your burdens. The other thing that you also have, too, is in favor with God. And when children are little, they have this comprehension of God. And could I encourage you that if they want to do this God thing, to go with it, because there will become a time in which they may not want to do this God thing? And whenever you have parents, you need to bring them to things like Wired. You need to bring them to things like Upward. You need to bring them to things like church. Why? Because they need, there once again, they need to learn what is right and what is wrong, and how do we teach them? You see, we need to be in favor with God and favor with man. I think that one of the things that we often miss, we teach by example. We teach by example. That's one of the ways that you teach. You know how if you don't like what's coming out of your kids, probably they've been taught by you by just the way you act. If you don't like the vulgarity that's coming out of their mouth, then you better stop it. If you don't want your kids to drink alcohol, then you probably better take it out of your refrigerator. Because what you do in moderation, your kids will do to excess. And don't be so surprised. And so what happens is that we teach them by example. If we think that God is important, then we need to bring God into our conversation. We need to bring God into our home. We need to bring God into our relationships. The other way is that we teach by instruction. In other words, we tell them what's right. We tell them what's wrong. We tell them the way they should live and what they should be. So it leads to, so to begin with, what we need to teach is right action. Second thing we need to teach here is right attitude. Right attitude. Notice the, I missed this one here. The two things. Notice the sphere as far as the right action. It's in the Lord. It's according to God's word. It's according to God's authority. And then the sanctity of the right attitude. It's right. It's right. It's fitting. Children have to accept some things even if they don't want to. But this obedience is right. Obedience is right. And if we don't demand obedience, then where are they going to learn it? And when they go to school and when they get out in society, and then they don't know how. But then the right attitude. He says to honor your father and your mother. It's the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. The word there, honor, and I looked it up, it means to estimate or to fix a value. To honor someone is to evaluate that person accurately and honestly and treat them with respect, kindness, and courtesy. And honor is the attitude behind the act or the action. So one is the right action. The other is the right attitude. Now, when do we start? You better start when they're little. By the time they get up this age, the puppy's just about grown up. By the time they hit the teenage, it's pretty tough. But you better start as far as within the right action. But also, we need to have then the right attitude. You're going to have to zip right on through that one, Rob, because I went quickly. Notice the object of the right attitude. Your father and your mother. And there has to be respect. There has to be kindness. There has to be courtesy. That's one of the things that you teach them. It's one of the things that you teach them. Your father and your mother. Let me tell you one of the things that they also need to see with respect. They need to see it between a husband and a wife. One of the best things that mom and dad will ever give to their kids is that they love each other and they respect each other. And if you don't show respect to mom, and mom, if you don't show respect to dad, don't expect Junior to show much respect either. They'll take a page right out of the book. And so one of the things we're going to teach them is we have to teach them the object of this right attitude is mother and father. Notice the ordinance of this right attitude. This is the first commandment with promise. Why is it first? Because it's the key to every relationship. Honor and kindness and teaching people respect, it starts with everything. I mean, this is first. In any relationship, I don't care where it is, when they finally get married, it better be this love and this respect. Whenever they have friends, there had better be the kindness. There'd better be the courtesy. There'd better be those things. And if you're not going to honor mom and dad, what do you think you're going to do to people that aren't even part of your family? Also, what do you think is going to happen 10 years? See, one of the things that you want to know whenever you, this is, by the way, this is just for this group up here and forget all the rest of you. Anybody that's younger, one of the things to look for in a mate is find out how they treat their mom and dad. Find out whether they have respect for mom and dad. You say, well, that's crazy. Their mom and dad may be ogres. Well, they may be, and one day you will be. But what happens is if you put about 10 years onto that, that's the way they're going to treat you. That's the way they're going to feel about you. And it's so important to have a relationship and to teach kids to have honor and have respect for mom and dad, because this is first. This is first in all relationship. All relationships start with courtesy and kindness and caring for another person. But what? You need to teach it. Isn't it something that the kids don't come in with a manual? By the time you learn all this kind of stuff, they're already gone. But what you need to see is that, once again, we are teaching, either by example or by a lack of it, within our homes and our lives. your father and your mother. And then notice the ordinance of this right attitude. It's the first commandment with promise. With promise. It's sort of like this. If you don't get it right with mom and dad, you're going to have a tough time in society the rest of your life. I can show you family after family and individual after individual that they never get it right in relationships. Let me tell you where it started? Home and family and mom and dad. And if you don't have that, then you have another problem. But notice the opportunity. There's two opportunities that are given. That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long upon the earth. It's, first of all, it's pleasing to God. But it may be well with thee. Do you realize that just about everything that you do in life depends upon relationships? And if you want it to be well with you, and it says that you may live long. How in the world does treating mom and dad in a certain way allow for a long life? Do you realize that within drugs and alcohol and violence, one of the things that we're not even talking about in our society, in the inner city, as well as now outside the inner city, is the breakup of the home and the family. We want to blame it on color. It's not a matter of color. It's a matter of character. And what's being taught within the home and the family. And whenever you have within the African-American community, 78 to 82% of every child that's born now is born out of wedlock. And there's about 50% of those that are Hispanic. And 25% now of those that are Caucasian American. What do you think is going to happen in the next 50 years in America if we continue to have a breakdown within the home and the family and children come into this world without having moms and without having dads and without having any direction? You'll find that they won't live as long. Why? Because who do you think makes up your jail population? Who do you think it makes up drugs and addicts as a whole? There's a breakdown within the home and the family. And what about violence and violence in the inner city? What about the gangs? Let me tell you why people go to gangs is because they need a family. And even though the family is bad, the gang members become their family. And what do they learn? They learn so it says that you may live long. Do you realize that during the Prohibition, the people that were gangsters, that very few of them lived beyond 35 years of age? What about the inner city? What about the drug culture that we're having right now and spawning right now? Do you realize how many people, and I just had a good friend that they buried him last week, 23 years of age. Why? Because he was into heroin. Whoa. Let me tell you, of all the times that we need moms and dads and homes and families to give people direction and to give people as far as what's right, we need it now. Because why? So you'll live long. It isn't a promise, but it's a general principle. And so what you'll find is it's not only right, it's not only good, but it has a promise that it may be well with thee. Let me tell you, if it's well with thee, do you realize how many young people are getting married today and they have no examples as far as how to live, as far as what's right and what's not right? Do you realize that they get married and have no clue as far as just honoring not only mom and dad, but people in general and valuing your mate? And the mate to the fellow is nothing more than just an object of sex. He's nothing more than just a meal ticket. It's something more than to clean your house up. Whoa, where'd you get that screwy idea? They're people. And the wife, she wants to love a husband because, oh, guess what? He makes me feel this. He makes me feel that. What happens when the feeling's gone? And so within our home and our family, Do you know that the average person is getting married today and they don't even know how to treat each other in a civil manner? Why? It's because they're not seeing it. They're not being instructed in how to do it. We have this crazy thing within our society. We start out with a blank sheet of paper, but it's sort of like a wedge. At the beginning of this wedge, you teach them and tell them everything. Sit down, stand up, eat your peas, broccoli, and all those other good things. But by the time they hit to the end, it opens up. By the time they're 18, there should be less and less control. And let me tell you what you need to be doing as a parent. You need to get them to the place. By the time they hit that 18, they know what to do with money. They know what to do with their checkbook. They know how to invest. They know how not to invest. They know how to be in polite society. They know how to deal. Why? Because guess what? They hit 18. It's, oh no! What do I do now? You already should know. You see, we as parents have an obligation to not turn these loose on society. And so you have a right action which flows from a right attitude. But then also, an uncontrolled life, an undisciplined life will generally not prosper or live very long at all. Notice the right approach. What should we be teaching? The word their fathers in verse 4 is really parents. Parents, don't exasperate your kids. Oh my goodness. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. The word there for provoke, as I looked it up, it means to exasperate. It makes them frustrated. How do you provoke a child to become unruly or rebellious? First thing that I found is this, is rules without relationships lead to rebellion. You better develop a relationship. Rules without relationship leads to rebellion. And so many times as parents, what we're trying to do is we're telling them this, don't do this, don't do this, but we're not developing a relationship with them. We need to spend our lifetime developing a relationship. And then when you begin to talk to them, you have a foundation. I looked it up and there's 9 ways to frustrate your children to rebellion. Maybe we are to blame. Number one, here's how to provoke your children. 9 ways. 1 is overprotection. Smother them. Fence them in and never trust them. Always wonder whether they're telling you the truth. Never give them an opportunity to develop independence. In their environment where everyone else takes certain risk and certain opportunities, if they are compressed into a very confined area, they'll begin to resent you and become very angry. 2 is favoritism. And that is that you'll discourage him and you'll make him angry or her angry if you break his spirit. And don't say things like, well, why can't you be bright like your sister? Because my sister's not too bright. She doesn't listen to this, so I'm okay. You always get C's and she gets A's. Why don't you act like your brother? Or if I only wanted 2 kids. Why in the world did you ever come along? So ask your children how they feel about each other and how they feel from time to time. 3, pushing achievements. So we've had overprotection, favoritism, pushing achievements. You can shove your child so hard to fulfill the goals that you never accomplished that you'll destroy him or her. You can push so much that your child will absolutely have no sense of fulfillment. Nothing is ever enough, and nothing is ever good enough, and they become exasperated. Discouragement, 4. You can provoke a child to wrath by discouraging him. This occurs if he's never given approval, reward, or honor. And if all you ever do is tell him what's bad and tell him not what's good. Failure to sacrifice, 5. Make them feel like they're an intrusion in your life. For example, well, we'd love to go with you, but we've got these kids, and we just can't get anybody to stay with them. It's this way all the time. Well, we'd like to get away, but I don't know what to do with all these kids that I've got. Should have thought of that before you. Okay. The failure to allow childishness makes sure that if they do anything that is an adult, mature, and intellectual, that you put them down for it. Don't let them say stupid things or silly things. Whew, boy, thank God for that one. Don't laugh just let them be kids, even if they do some dumb things. Neglect. David neglected Absalom. It's so easy to get to the place that you become so busy making money, so busy doing everything else, that you don't have time to play catch. You don't have time to go for a walk. You don't have time. Why? Because you're so busy. And it becomes exasperating. Withdrawing love. Don't ever use as a punishment, withdrawing love. You do this by saying something like, Daddy won't like you if you do that. Now, is that the way God treats us? No. Bitter words and cruel physical punishment. I don't know what it is about men who want to beat up on little kids, but that's a problem. It's called battered children. Be careful. Those are fragile little lies. Fathers, don't shove your weight around and use your superior strength. That will provoke your children to wrath. Not only can children be battered physically, but they can also be battered verbally and mentally. It's awfully easy to get to the place. So he says, don't exasperate your children. But he says to nurture them. Nurture them of the Lord. This is discipline. This is training. This is learning. This is instructing. This is what you do to the child. And rules and regulations, there need to be a balance. But I need to nurture. You have an awfully fragile little thing there. They need to be nurtured. They need to be encouraged. They need to be. And so often, you'll find that the kids have a real low self-esteem. But nurture them. And then admonition. This is admonition. This is counsel. This is what you say. One is what you do. The other is what you say. Watch what you say. Watch what you say. Because it's awfully easy. You hold on to a feeling long enough, it becomes a belief. Tell a kid he's stupid. Where'd you get that idea? Tell him that he's dumb. Tell him that boy, you're the ugliest kid I've ever seen. I don't care whether he's the ugliest kid you've ever seen or not. They'll begin to feel that way. They feel it, then they begin to believe it, and then they begin to act on it. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Because these kids are so impressionable. They're like a living piece of clay. And they're a work of art. And I can either destroy them or I can make them into a positive way. How can you have a joyful home? The other thing, the importance of parents' example in a child's life. To me, parents' example is the key. And this lady named Dorothy Law Nolte, she has written, if a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like him or herself. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in this world. You see, God has given us a living piece of clay. We mold it and we shape it day by day. Little by little becomes a work of art. And hopefully in the end, you have a child after God's own heart. So often what we fail to realize is we do this by example, and we do this by instruction, and we live in a society that we are so busy trying to make our kids popular, trying to fit them into various activities. We've taken activities for parenting, and we've taken the internet for a babysitter. And they wonder why in the world we're having problems with our kids. You see, one of the things that God wants, it's in the Lord. It's of the Lord. I need to know what God wants. And I need to know what God wants us to be. As I thought of this message, I was going to ask myself a question. How many are here this morning that either maybe you take care of grandkids or maybe you take care of your own kids, but you are responsible for children in some way? And maybe there's some children that are even under your roof. If that's the case, would you stand to your feet? I'm not talking about people that are 38 and still living under your roof. I'm talking about you know, as you begin to look around, you realize the tremendous responsibility that you have. The most important thing that you can have within your home is love and respect, because that's what we're trying to teach our kids, and a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, you'll never make it on your own. And so what I thought I would do this morning is that I'd just ask God, first of all, to speak to your heart. I'm not asking anybody to come forward. I'm just asking you to realize this. Unless your heart is right with God, you'll never be the parent or the example that you need to be. You'll just pass along all the information and all the negativism that's in your life. And Jesus Christ has given you a tremendous opportunity to take a child and to make him or her into something that he could never be otherwise. And that's a child after the heart of God. That's what we want. Our Father, I thank you so very much for these that are standing. I would ask you, Lord Jesus, that first of all, they would realize a tremendous responsibility, and they would realize that they can't be what you want them to be. And then for the children that are sitting, children, obey your parents. This is what God wants. God wants you to listen to mom and dad. God wants you to respect authority. And Lord Jesus, take these that are standing. Do something within their heart and within their life. Make Jesus Christ real. Make Christianity real. Make their relationship with their husband, with their wife, with their family. Make it real and genuine so the kids will know what a home looks like and what a family looks like and what a home looks like that dad loves mom and mom respects dad. And Lord Jesus, I would ask you that we'd realize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and mights and dominions and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And unless we put on Jesus Christ, we can never be what you want us to be. For that person that's standing now, perhaps he or she doesn't even know you. Speak to them definitely about coming to know you as Savior in Jesus' name. Amen.